All right, now listen.
Ancient Chinese secret, eh?
Listen.
Yes.
It's my turn. I know we said yesterday, you said at the end of the show, you got to get to the word sun. We've been telling people we're going to get to this Calvinism-Arminianism chart. But we got to cover a topic. We did have some people question us regarding a comment we made that God doesn't speak to people anymore. And I just want to clear the air on that. We got to do that now.
Oh, we're going to do that now?
We have to.
Okay.
We have to clear the air on that. Now, we made a comment. I have the question here. Yeah, what's the question? I want to make a comment on that and clarify. And by the way, if we say something that doesn't make sense to you, please, by all means, email us or call us and ask us.
Yeah, we don't
mind.
It's impossible
to qualify every statement.
Right.
Period. So if you don't understand, just let us know. Read the question.
Here's the actual question.
All right, read the question.
I was going to say this for later this week, but we'll go ahead and do it now. This is from a guy who calls himself Papa John in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Yeah. Is his wife Mama Cass? I
know. Albuquerque.
Okay. I understand your point about the Holy Roller preachers saying that God spoke to them, wanting them to donate money. That's what God always says to those people.
Yeah.
But practically, here's the question. How does God speak to us? You guys are saying that he doesn't. Paul finished the word, and we have the scriptures and nothing else. I think you're talking about inspired doctrine, but it sounds like we can never hear from God in this day and age. Is that true? Don't we hear from God in other ways, through people, circumstances, etc.? Doesn't he inspire us in our daily walks? And Papa John closes this way. It's depressing to hear that God is not speaking to us. We have access with confidence, but basically we're on our own when we're in situations like we are when we need ministered to. Really, do we have to read scriptures for all of our practical advice? Doesn't he send people? Anyway, love your show, Papa John.
Okay, that's not what I heard. That's not the question I'm addressing. But okay, now we'll answer that one. Though that's not what I was thinking of.
Oh,
we'll get into that.
Okay.
The answer is yes. On that, we do hear from God in a sense. But what we're talking about is you and I can never claim. He's talking about hearing from people and practical advice. Of course, sanctified common sense is a good thing to have. But that does not, you cannot say that that is a thus saith the Lord. You cannot say that God told me to get this job or God told me to do that.
Well, can you say it if you think that God is working through the circumstances?
Possibly. But you can't give an absolute truth to that.
No.
You cannot say absolutely positively that this is a divine inspiration. Now, yes, we can back up and say all is of God, Romans 11:33-36. But the point being is that you cannot. We're trying to work this experiential Christianity thing into where every act is a divine statement, and we want this infallibility in things we do.
No.
We don't have that. And I hear what's coming through with this gentleman. So it sounds like he actually agrees with us.
Yeah, he agrees with us, but
he
thinks we're saying that you can't hear from God today any other way.
No, no.
Besides Scripture, but
when people start saying stuff like, "Well, God spoke to me," no,
yeah, God spoke a word. God spoke a word for me to you. Why do you have to say that? Why do they have to have all that fanfare? Why don't you just come out and say, "Look, I think you ought to do this."
Exactly. Now that could be God speaking through somebody to you, but the point being, these are not inspired doctrines or inspired teaching. As we pointed out yesterday with the Son of His Love thing, it's an atmosphere in which we live in. When we study the Scriptures and we believe these things, God doesn't give us a book to tell us what to do in every situation in our life. It can't.
Yeah.
It'd be too big of a book. That's why these doctrines are practical for daily living. All right, should you wash the dishes now or should you wait till, after you have your cup of coffee after dinner?
Seek the word of the Lord.
You have to seek the word of the Lord for that?
No,
this is crazy. You become a lunatic when you start.
We're not saying those things aren't important to God. We're not saying it's
not
important to God. We said the very hairs of your head are numbered.
Exactly.
So does God care if I wash the dishes now or later? Yes, he does.
Of course.
He's in all those actions, but these are daily things that we do, but we trust that the Spirit of God makes its home in us, and we just act.
We just do things. I mean,
right.
We're trying to find it. And people get into this whole prayer issue, I got to pray about that. Let me ask you something. Do you have to pray? You have a job? Yes. What time are you going to be there? 8 o'clock in the morning. Do you pray about that? I mean, you pray if it's God's will, you should be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. Of course not. You go to work and be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's what you're supposed to do.
It's not like you're denying that God is
in control of
all that.
You're recognizing that God is part of everything.
God is part of everything. It's like the National Day of Prayer. You say you got to pray on that day. Well, why do I have to take a day off to pray? Is like taking a day off to breathe.
Yeah.
If you're doing it all the time, then you don't need to stop and say, Lord, if this is your will, you trust that His Spirit's in you. And as far as saying, thus saith the Lord, I have a word of the Lord for you, we can't do that because there is a pureness in us that the spirit that makes its home in us is 100% pure, but it's only in measure, and it's surrounded by a bunch of other crap inside of us. It's surrounded by what we saw on television last night. It's surrounded by the latest dishwash soap commercial that we saw. It's surrounded by the argument we just had with our spouse. There's a bunch of other crap inside of us our Lord had the Spirit without measure. We have the same Spirit He had, but it's in measure. It might be a little thimbleful, and so you can't trust that your pronouncement is the Word of God. You cannot do that. And we're saying that, but Paul did do that. But not even he did it.
No,
all
you know,
time.
There are times he made plans
That's
and they
right.
never came. You know, Paul says, I often purposed. I wanted to come see you guys, but I was hindered.
That's right. But when he
there.
Wrote Romans and when he wrote Ephesians and when he's dictating these books, then he's obviously inspired. And then there is a pureness. But that was a miraculous situation. And Paul says in Colossians 1:25 that he completes the Word of God. And I think Papa John mentioned that here too, that Paul finished the Word. We have the Scriptures and nothing else. I wouldn't go that far to say we have the Scriptures and nothing else.
Here's a proverb, and I'm quoting from the Concordant Old Testament here. It says, to humanity belong the arrangements of the heart. Yet from Yahweh comes the response of the tongue.
But even the arrangements of the heart are ultimately from Yahweh.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though. But I'm saying you make your plans, you make your arrangements. But God, Yahweh gives a response.
In other words, I've always looked at it this way. That's a good verse. I've always looked at it this way, that there are no green lights in God's will, only red lights. There's no green lights. In other words, we don't need to stop and ask God, is it okay if I go to the grocery store now? Just go, do your thing, and then God will trust God to stop you. I've often said that to God. Okay, look, God, you know, you're not giving me any writing on the wall. I'm not getting any voices in my head. So I'm just going to do this thing because I feel to do it, trusting that your Spirit makes its home in me.
Yeah.
If this isn't the right thing, stop me.
Yeah.
You can do it.
And it all comes down to this, too. Don't sweat it. Don't worry about screwing up. People are so self-conscious, they think that God is always going to zap them when they mess up something. Just go about your business.
Yeah, because you're going to kill yourself.
Live
with
in the
self-analyzation.
Live in the atmosphere of the fact that you're justified, you're crucified with Christ, you're buried with Christ, you're risen with Christ, you're vivified and seated together with Him in the celestials, and when Christ, who is our life, is manifested, we manifest with Him in glory. Live in the atmosphere that you're in Christ.
Paul didn't even examine himself. He said that in one place. He said, there's many people examining me because I'm under the microscope. I'm the inaugurator of this evangel, and so they're really checking out my background. They're vetting me. But he says, I'm not too worried about it because I don't even vet myself. I don't even analyze or examine myself. And that sounds terrible. As Christians, aren't we supposed to analyze everything we do? Because we're supposed to ask ourselves every minute of every day, what would Jesus do? No, you're not supposed to live like that. That's bondage. What a great day it was when I realized that Jesus was going to live His life through me.
Yeah.
That's a whole different ballgame.
Hey, I got one more verse for you.
Yeah.
In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, notice that. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. All right, you get out, you go. You're on your way.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, acknowledge Him.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Okay, now notice what
that's
it says
good.
Here.
In all your ways,
and
yeah.
He Himself shall straighten your paths. You're on the way.
Right.
He'll straighten it out.
Right.
You're on the path, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So I don't have to straighten my own path.
You don't have to, you know, but, you know, there's you don't sit around and just wait for God to move you, whether you can go up and make dinner or not.
That's fatalism.
I hope this answers the question and we put it in the proper perspective. And I trust that people are intelligent enough when they hear us that they won't go to the opposite extreme when they hear these things. Well, that means I should never pray. Or something like that.
No,
you know?
People always go to the opposite extremes. Don't worry, that'll happen.
Okay.
All right, next thing. I want to talk about the word son.
All right,
transported to the kingdom of the Son of His love. This is another title of Christ.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Christ is not His last name.
It's not?
Oh, Dan, I'm sorry. I should have told you this off the air.
I thought Mary's not Mary Christ?
No.
Okay. Not, Joseph Christ?
No.
I guess that's not his last name.
No, Christ was not on the mailbox outside of their house.
Okay.
All right. Christ is a title. It's anointed. It tells us what he does. It's his official office. It's, I don't want to say a cold term, but compared to son, it is. It's what he does. He did this for your behalf. He's Christ. He's the anointed one to do a job. He was on a mission from God. That's Christ. But now, in this verse we talked about from Colossians 1:13, transported into the kingdom of the Son of his love. As the Christ, he justified us. That's what he. But as the Son, that's a more intimate relationship, as you said so well yesterday. We have an intimate relationship with him as a son. And this is more than just he justifies you. This is he brings you close to himself. He not only says, you're right, Dan, he says, I love you. And now we come into the family relationship. It's a very warm, very close word. And, you know, I don't even think we think about that enough. But
no.
That is what transports us out of this jurisdiction of darkness. Nothing can reach us because he loves us.
You know, it's very interesting how this term I rarely hear anyone talk about. This title, the Son of His Love.
Oh, the Son of His Love.
It's very rarely, you know, it's only found here in Colossians. And what's interesting about Colossians is part of those prison letters that reveal the highest truth and for the body of Christ. And it's smack dab right in the middle there, connected with our role. And the Son of His Love, I mean, you think about it, it's the object of the Father's love, and we're loved in Him.
And he gives us the family, our own families, ideally, to reflect this truth. As you cherish your own child, your own sons and daughters, God cherishes us in this way. And that's what the family is. It's a picture. That's why our Lord is called God's Son. And now we're his sons. He's going to bring many sons to glory.
Yeah.
You got to really get into a quiet corner and think about that.
Yeah.
Because to think that we're in his family, that's just, he's incomplete without us. I was just writing in my newsletter, he's the hunger that he has for us. We often think of, we can't wait to see God, I can't wait to see Christ. And we're always thinking of it from our point of view, and that's okay, there's a place for that. But to think of his hunger, he has been waiting far longer than we have to be rejoined with, joined with us. We're part of his body, and he's incomplete without his body.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that, Dan, he is incomplete without his body. And he is going to be one heck of a reunion, and he is on tiptoes waiting for it. He's looking forward to it more than we are, because he knows where we're going.
I can almost see our Savior saying, can I go now, Father?
Yes.
How about now?
Yes.
Can I go now?
Not time yet.
Can I go now?
Not time
can
yet.
I go now?
Almost.
He's close. Isn't that great? He longs for us.
He longs for us as we long for him. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I am Dan Sheridan. You can go to my website, paulsevangel.com, and listen to my series on Romans there.
If you miss this radio show or you go, man, I wish I could listen to that again, you can at martinzender.com. These shows are archived there from the very beginning. You can listen to all of them. So go there and rejoice in the God that we rejoice in. He loves you, and he has the best in mind for you. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Please be with us.